Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Then I'm back with the final Lugan Beach Show Summer Best Of. This show began a couple of years ago as something to do while the Football Ramble wasn't doing its thing. Turned out, I think we did the Football Ramble most of the way through the summer anyway, so it wasn't really that much of a holiday. But either way, I'm back with a little best of, and I've got cold pretty much right throughout all of these clips, so apologies. I would like to say hello to Cameron from Washington, D.C., who got in touch. I said I'd be reading out a couple of her emails to keep, you know, a little bit of the freshness coming in. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, it's hello and Luke and Pete, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. I'll just get on my vocal booth. Did a little burp, thank you. Hello to Cameron from Washington, D.C. Hi, friends. Long-time listener, long-time emailer. No batteries around me to report on. Back in university, I did Valentine's Day grams, where people paid me to go around the school and play guitar / sing to their significant others. Not bad little hustle, is it, Cameron? By far, the most popular song request was Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder. I love the song, and I have no problem performing it, but I'm not sure people realised that it's actually a song about a newborn baby. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she precious? Less than 1 minute old. Now, do you fancy going to prom? Unbelievable. Can't wait to see you guys in the States. Sorry about we got in the States and under our Football Ramble, guys. Thank you, Cameron from Washington, D.C., for your upsetting email. If you would like to say hello, it's hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll be back this coming Thursday with more Luke and Pete Show, but instead of the highlights of 2 years ago, it's going to be fresh content.
This is from Nick, actually. N-I-C.
Right, Nick.
I didn't take it. I don't think he signed off with his surname.
Right, so Nicky boy. Give us what you got, yeah?
He says, following the chat around prosopagnosia, in last week's episode. That was with Duncan Bannatyne. Remember the inability to recognise faces?
Somebody tweeted Duncan Bannatyne today. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
Going,
have you seen what those boys are saying about you on the podcast?
Why do people do that? They're show-offs, aren't they?
Well, show-offs, but also I was going, what did we say about that?
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it?
Can't remember.
That's the problem, yeah. Bannatyne won't listen.
No.
He's worth $700 million or something. He's not going to care.
He's busy pushing his commanding officer off a boat.
We only said, to be fair, that he had an ice cream van, and according to his own website, he's got prosopagnosia, and he was dishonourably discharged from the Navy, all of which is true.
Okay.
Bring your law firm, Bannatyne. anyway.
Oh, yeah, dear, a badger's head.
So, yeah. So if you can't remember what happened last week, prosopagnosia, St. Duncan Bannatyne apparently suffers from, according to reports.
Right.
And it's the inability to recognise faces.
Okay.
So even if you know someone well, occasionally you cannot recognise who they are.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nick says, following the chat around that, I'd like to present for Mankata another fascinating psychological phenomenon that may have passed you by. Synesthesia. Do you know synesthesia?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening,
so
you don't
know.
Yes,
in short.
Yeah. Anyway, and that's it.
Yeah.
No, but if you're listening and you don't, it's a phenomenon in humans, Nick says, where one sensory pathway is joined with another sensory pathway, so when one is stimulated, the other is triggered involuntarily. For example, sounds are experienced as colours. He says, I studied psychology at university and remember watching a video in a lecture about a synesthete, which is, that's the name of people who suffer from it, who experience words as tastes and smells. And there was a video of him going on the tube through Covent Garden Station and he said, Covent Garden tastes strongly of sausages. It sounds fake, but apparently it's real.
So Hermann's he German?
Synesthesia is sometimes suggested as a source of genius, and certain great composers, Chopin and Liszt, experienced sound as colour and would choose chord progressions based on the shades and hue of the colour they saw while playing. He said, maybe old news to you. Certainly old news to you, Pete, but thought it was worth sharing. It was fascinating. Keep up the good word, Nick. Now, Nick included a link to a list of some other notable synesthetes in his email, and I thought you'd be interested, Pete, to know that the following people have apparently suffered from synesthesia. Mm. Tori Amos.
Oh!
Remember her?
Conflict girl.
Never was a conflict girl.
She has red hair, or...
Yeah.
As I call it, sausage hair.
Tell you what I'll do. I'll taste strongly of sausage. I'll list these people who've got synesthesia, and
right.
You can give me an alternative fact. A different fact. Not an alternative fact, an actual fact about them.
About them. Okay, right. Okay. Yeah.
So we're starting off. Tori Amos, she said red hair. That's fine.
Yes, red hair.
Next up, Michael Jackson.
I think
careful.
He had one silvery glove.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Next up, this is a tough one. Duke Ellington, famous pianist.
I have no facts about Duke Ellington.
Okay. Richard Feynman.
I don't even know who Richard Feynman
is. Fantastic physicist.
Right.
Apparently,
what a fantastic physicist.
Apparently he used to see equations in colours. Imagine that. He did, apparently.
That is confusing.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe.
She had a dress that would occasionally rise above her knee.
There you go. Vincent van Gogh. Don't do the obvious one.
Cut off his colourful ear.
He actually used to see ears as colours.
He's like, oh, my ears are black.
And two easy ones to finish. Two right. More notable synesthetes to finish off. Kanye West.
just invariably quite mad.
Yeah, and Hans Zimmer.
Oh, I have interviewed him.
Okay.
And the microphone didn't work.
Oh, dear.
And I didn't tell anyone.
He's still waiting for that to come out. We've all been there.
He did the music for Dunkirk, didn't he?
He did, yeah. It's a very good soundtrack.
He did.
Very claustrophobic.
And also, I noticed that... what's that famous one he did for... not True Blood. What am I talking about? The True Romance.
Yeah.
That
oh, did ding, he do
ding,
that?
Ding, 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 ding. That,
oh,
kind, of, that kind of xylophone-y kind of thing. It's got used in so many things. Such a copy of another piece. Such a big copy.
Before we move on, and maybe even...
What a guy, though.
Leave our listeners alone. I would say Dunkirk, to finish off with Dunkirk, to bookend the show, if you will, because Hans Zimmer's come up here.
Yes.
I would say it's the first film I've seen where the soundtrack is probably more important than the dialogue.
Okay, yeah, everyone's talking about how amazing it is.
It's very claustrophobic and very sort of affecting.
I really want to watch it. I want to watch it in 70, is it 70 millimetres?
Don't talk to me about that, mate.
70 millimetres.
I watched it with, again, Tommy, you come up earlier on the show.
Right.
He works in that sort of business. He was talking about 35 mil and 70 mil and all sorts. And I was like, look,
shut your round, mate. I want to get a, you want to see a man's head come off.
Just let me watch it.
Yeah.
I've heard it's got loads of bloody explosions in it.
I've heard it's got bloody that bandolite in it.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, let's get out of here. If you want to get involved and do our job for us, because, to be quite frank, it's you've mainly been doing the heavy lifting.
The show's getting better.
We've enjoyed it. hello@lukeandpetershow.com.
Yeah, and do post us a review of our show, if you like it, on iTunes. I did notice a review. I don't tend to read below the line, as they say, very often, because it's depressing. But we love all the reviews you'll get. Apart from one guy who said, the show's rubbish or something, and if you want proof, look at the shows. They're just getting shorter. They're getting shorter and shorter.
What does that mean?
Don't know. Understand. I'll take it up with him, mate.
It wasn't like last week's, like an hour or something.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Has this man got a YouTube channel of eating old food?
Well, you've spoiled the surprise, but yes.
A man
from America on YouTube who specialises in eating really, really old food.
Anyone who's ever known you in any capacity would have been able to guess that, Pete.
So it's an inhuman. I love this guy.
So what sort of stuff has he eaten?
Well, he's part of an online community who swap old, what they call MREs, military ready-to-eat rations.
Right.
So he basically locates, finds, borrows, buys old rations from back in the day. They're obviously food that's not that aren't designed for like gourmet taste. They're designed to just pack as many calories into a small amount of space.
I'm presuming they're designed to last a long time as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like some of the rarest stuff he's eaten is Italian army rations from back in the day that contain little liquor miniatures and stuff. And because these like rations are raising quite a bit of money on the grey market, there's actually criminal investigation units inside the army set up to find out who's selling these rations off the back of a lorry to people. But it's not only just old stuff. He also eats the modern ration from like the Israeli army or the Russian army. Just to see the differences of what you get in each pack and stuff.
I can perfectly picture what this man looks like.
What does he look like? Describe him. I'll show you a video of him.
Quite nerdy. Quite nerdy looking.
No, you know, he's quite handsome, quite healthy looking, quite tanned.
Where's one of those caps with, like, a American warship on the front? USS Freedom or whatever.
He might have been wearing a wife beater with an American flag on.
Yeah, there we go.
But he's my hero. Okay, he's such a dude.
Okay, right.
As I said, he's very tanned. It might be hepatitis, I don't know. It might be salmonella. It might be something else. But Steve makes the big point of saying that he doesn't have health insurance.
Right.
And he's eating all his old food from back in the day.
Boasting. I'm pretty sure I saw on the 100th anniversary of a battle in the First World War, I'm pretty sure I saw a sort of ration tin, tin being eaten or something, and the guy was like, it's not that good.
This isn't delicious.
I think it was just corned beef and biscuits or something.
Well, I think, it's usually like really fatty meat and usually a lot of kind of saltine kind of biscuits.
Yeah, saltines, exactly, to give you what you need. On that note, I said earlier, I'm quite sort of laissez-faire when it comes to worrying about fruit being out of date particularly, but I would say overall you're a much more adventurous eater than I am.
Yeah, I won't eat anything that's gone off, though. Like, I'm pretty diligent about sell-by dates and use-by dates and stuff.
It's almost perverse how often you want to eat weird food. I mean, I've been with you before when we've been, I don't know, on a Sunday morning or whatever, before a football match, and I've seen you pile into a full steak tartare with a raw egg before football, for example, which to most people listening to this, if not all, will think that is ridiculous.
I'll level with you. It's not the ideal. No. It's not isotonic.
I was having a Lucozade Sport and a banana, I think. You're tacking it to a full joint of raw meat.
Just very heavy. It was a big portion. It was too heavy. I remember the second last time I played football, I ate a full creme brulee just before I started.
I mean?
I thought, I'll give myself an hour.
Is this
Turns
a
out you
channel?
Need longer. Just me playing football, vomiting off some mystery food.
You can't book me for that, ref. I've just had a creme brulee. Speaking of fruit, by the way.
I just made this red card into a yellow one.
I was reading just finished reading David Niven's memoir.
Yes.
The Moons of Bloons. This is not new news. I mean, it's a classic Hollywood memoir from the golden age of Hollywood. And he tells a funny story in that about fruit, where he says that him or his friend were invited. This is way back in like the 30s. Him or his friend were invited to play cricket at a Duke's country estate. Because they knew he played a bit of cricket, right? The Duke of Gloucester or whatever's massive country retreat. So there's a bit of an event happening, a bit of a day thing, and we want you to play cricket. We heard you're good at cricket. Mm. We'd love to have you part of the team. And he was like, oh, yeah, all right, fine. I don't think he really wanted to do it because he didn't really like the high society side of it. So he got there the night before and got put up in this amazing room. And in the morning, he was quite nervous, and he looked out the window, and there's a massive throng of people on the grounds and stuff. He said, oh, God. So he walked downstairs and just had treated himself to a little walk around the grounds, just to delay the inevitable, basically. And as he was walking through the little orchard, he came into a little greenhouse, walked through, and saw these different fruit trees and everything, and he saw a single peach hanging on a tree. He thought, oh, do you know what? I'll have that. I ain't going to miss that.
No, this is biblical.
Grabbed the
forbidden fruit.
Wait. Grabbed the peach, starts eating it, right? Turns, finishes the peach, walks around to the group and he says, right, okay, everyone, how are you doing? This is so-and-so. He's like, yeah, all right, nice to meet you. When are we starting the cricket? And he said, well, we'll start in a minute, but the press are just on their way over there. The press pack are going to be here soon. We'll do all the photos and everything and then we'll go. And he was like, what do you mean the press pack? I thought it was just a cricket game. He said, yeah, it is a cricket game, but it's also just to commemorate the Duke's achievements. And he was like, what do you mean? He said, well, the biggest achievement he's just had recently, he's just become the first human in history to grow a full-size peach on a miniature peach tree.
That's wonderful.
He said he just turned on his heels, went to the room, grabbed his stuff, just left.
Just picked up a cricket bat and just smashed himself in the face. So well, I don't know what happened, I'm so sorry.
That was me, I would have definitely eaten it as well.
I would have gone looking for laburnum, I think. Yeah. Started munching down those seeds, yum, yum, yum.
The good thing is you could probably get lost in a place that big, so you just leg it as quick as you can.
I do wonder, like, whether it was... I guess back in the day, you wouldn't have security cameras. You could get away with a lot more stuff.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Like, any crime, look around to see if anyone is around. Nowadays, you've got to look for, like, cameras and stuff.
We cannot use this vehicle to advocate crime.
I'm not advocating it. I'm just helping people plan crimes.
Roll back the nanny state and then commit crimes.
Yeah, plan better crimes, guys. Watch out for cameras. This guy's got quite a relaxing voice. The sounds of the packets getting opened. It's quite similar to those ASMR videos. Yeah, are you familiar with those?
Yeah,
where it's just
whispering
women and men kind of like rustling papers and stuff like that.
What's the point of that?
It's kind of relaxing.
Well, do some people susceptible to it?
Yeah, some people are particularly susceptible. It's a little bit sexually exciting for people because it's like, you know, it's in your ear kind of thing. But, yeah, it's a little bit like that. It's quite relaxing to watch, and you sort of doze off watching him eat some pretty difficult stuff.
Can you submit your own sort of ration packs for him to try?
Yeah, I mean, people send him stuff all the time, so, and he just puts it in his mouth, which is...
Right.
We should start doing that on this show, I think, in many ways. He basically knows the food is okay to eat, because the pack, if oxygen's got to it... the packs will just swell up to like twice their size.
Makes sense.
So the amount of times he's like opened a tin and there's just been like it's been strawberry, you know, tin strawberries or whatever. It's just been black.
How did you find out about this guy in the first place?
I don't know. Just on my travels, but he's quite popular. He's got a hell of a following. But
how many subscribers are we talking?
Oh, he's got loads, like absolute complete millions. Like some people from the forces like emailing going, "Why are you doing this? I never wanted to see another one of these as long as I live," because obviously they had to live off them for such a long time. But like people who. Like in some of the packs is things like powdered lemon so that people don't have scurvy and stuff like that because it's the only way to get vitamin C into their diet. It's incredible.
That must be old fashioned. Surely these days you get like tablets and pills.
Yeah, obviously. But it seems to be one of his best episodes was him eating a hard tack, which is like it's like a biscuit, saltine sort of biscuit, but very dry, very nutritious, but they can be stored for ages. He ate one from the US Civil War, 1863.
I was about to, that's so funny. That is fascinating to start with, but I was about to ask, my next question would be how far back would he go, because I don't know if you're familiar, but down on the south coast, the Mary Rose Museum,
right,
they the Mary Rose, obviously Henry VIII's flagship, sunk in the Solent in the 16th century, and it was perfectly preserved because it sunk instantly into the silt,
right, okay,
and they obviously, I mean, I think in the 1980s they raised it and they've treated it and it's now a pretty good well, it's actually a brilliant museum. And they've got all that stuff in there, and they've got stuff. I think there'll be either fossils of it, or there'll be some sort of variation on what it should be. But they've got like ships, biscuits, and stuff like that.
You know, after a while, things like that soak up rock and carbon, so they've just become carbonated.
That's
carbonated,
what it is,
or just carbon basically. There's a famous tree in the Natural History Museum that I love, and I think I'm the only person who actually goes in and just looks at that tree because everyone just walks past it. But it's a tree trunk. That back in the day, obviously you've got the sequoia at the top of the stairs, the big massive one that's like 1,000 years old. But there's a tree stump that got basically just filled with carbon. It soaked up so many minerals that it's just this kind of like stone tree, but it looks like a tree, but every atom of it is now being replaced by a different kind of carbon, like a hardened diamond hard carbon. It's fantastic.
The oldest tree ever to be discovered, I think I'm right in saying, was cut down by some students or some scientists accidentally.
Right.
And they only realised it was the oldest tree in existence after they cut it down.
When David Niven turned up and went, I'm here for the big tree fest. Yeah.
No, when they counted the rings or whatever they would do for a tree of that age and realised, and they were like, oh, yeah.
Super glow. So I don't got any more nails.
Sorry about that.
Once you've chopped a tree down, there must be a way of kind of surgically sticking it together, because that's how you kind of do bonsai trees, isn't it?
Is that why you were kicked out of university?
I was kicked out of Goa. Sorry for knocking that down.
Kicked out of Richmond Park. All I'm saying is there must be a way we can fix this.
That's why that bird turned up in your house, because I cut down his tree.
Are you the owner of Fenton, the dog?
We'll both look after Luke. We'll both look after Luke. If he feels sad with that mum and dad, we'll both look after Luke.
So shall we watch a bit of this guy?
Yeah, okay, great.
This is a near-complete piece of hard tech backed by G.H. Benton Company, Milton, Massachusetts, in the summer of 1863.
So explain what we're watching here, Luke.
So the American chap is taking a...
Use his name, Steve.
Steve.
Steve. Steve 1989 MRE info.
He's using... That's cool. He's taking a 160 or 155 year or whatever it is cracker out of a plastic sheath. And, I mean, it's absolutely remarkable,
check
really. Hard tack, it's called.
Very faint.
It looks like a piece of clay from a quarry.
Yeah.
So it's like it's just been quarried.
It kind of tastes like... tastes exactly the way it smells. It tastes like mothballs and old library books.
That's what it... I'm not surprised.
Why is he surprised?
Jack, anyway. It's a thick cracker made of flour, water, and occasionally some salt. You know, and when properly stored, it lasts for years.
Well, obviously it's 160.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the skin of an old man who's not very well.
Yeah.
But rigid as heck. It looks like, you know, you're eating a bit of stone. An incredible man doing some incredible things, really.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that.
Put it in your mouth.
It's a man eating an old cracker. So now, I mean, 1943, World War II, British RAF emergency flying ration.
Yeah. On the top it says, read instructions carefully.
Yeah.
Which I quite like.
This is a World War II British Royal Air Force emergency flying ration Mark II.
We just said that, Steve. Honestly.
Yeah.
You've eaten a bad cracker, mate.
Steve, just eat it.
Put it in your mouth, Steve.
Let us do the presenting.
Very uncommon. I've only found one other one in all the time searching for this specific ration.
Can I just say, if it's uncommon, shouldn't be eating it. It's either an antique or it isn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I found the other day? What? Ah, 1944 ration. There's only one left in the world. Oh, can I see it? No, I ate it.
Oh, you know what I've dug up? I've dug up the missing link between chimps and humans. What have you done with it? Fucked it in it.
Can I see it? Yeah, if you want. This is the bathroom seat. Yeah, it's in the can.
2 years old and going on 73. So, without further ado, let's check this out.
So he's opening what looks like a cigarette case filled with very tidily arranged old nosh.
Can I just say, you know when you go into a restaurant and you look at the menu and you really can't decide what you want to eat?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got everything on it. What I like, one of the bits of advice in the lid of the can says, never drink seawater.
You shouldn't be in the RAF. We don't know that. You shouldn't be in the services, all right?
I reckon Steve would fucking do it.
Pirates have known that for hundreds of years. Yeah, Steve would drink it.
The energy tablets should be taken only on instructions from the officer in command. Instructions to this officer are printed on the carton and repeated on the leaflet inside.
Oh, the energy tablets. Little bit of Lucozid.
Do you reckon when he goes out for dinner with his family, they're like, what do you want? What can I get you? I'll have the steak, please. How do you want it cooked? I'll have it, like, medium. Okay. How old is the steak? Have you got any 70-year-aged steak?
The best videos are when he unpacks, like, corned beef that's been around for 50 years.
Oh, God.
Foul.
So I'll draw the line there. I think,
That being said, you see there's only one pack of energy tablets. This one has two. And the barley sugar and gum are missing. All that's in this...
Someone's been at my ration, says Steve.
All I can say is, I do think Steve's actually a bit more of a better bloke than I thought he'd be. He's quite softly spoken, isn't he?
Yeah, he's actually quite nice to listen to, isn't he?
Quite engaging, unlike us.
How often you find one.
This man promised us the fact that he was going to eat loads of food.
Right.
But he's stopped at the energy tablets.
Let's watch him get these down his Gregory Peck, and then let's watch him eat some really old meat.
Benzedrine sulfate.
He's backing out here. Stressing out that there's actual drugs in this blooming packet.
I think if you got to the stage in your life where you're eating 70-year-old amphetamine, you probably want to just have a little bit of a recalibration of your priorities.
You know, and they said that the 90s was good for ecstasy. How good was the 40s barbs?
Placed by dexedrine, dextroamphetamine, sulfate.
He's got his tweezers in there.
It is Adderall, but this is the original Adderall. The original crank. Let's try out this candy. Smells like a nice malted milk tablet with a little bit of motor oil. It never killed anybody. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like a really weird waxy Tootsie Roll. No way. Yeah, well, yeah, that's just super bitter.
You are, mate.
It even has that.
May I remind you that this man has no health insurance.
So I'm gonna, Pete, I'm gonna click onto the one about. It looks like a massive chunk of meat from the Vietnam War.
Right. Okay.
So I mean that's.
Well, the actual sort of the picture at the start of it, it looks like a horrible. It looks like bully beef, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like a big roll of beef that you get back in the day. But this is quite old. How old is this one?
That's from the Vietnam War, so early 70s. But right. It looks to me like, you know when you get a massive thing of salami in the deli counter at a supermarket? So it looks like that.
Probably about the same age, to be honest.
Yeah.
It said the same thing, but...
Hang on, has he bought that from Asda? Just put it in an old box.
It's got a yellow sticker on it.
But this thing, you know, I'm pretty sure the main course is cooked. It's rattling. It's dropping like bits of rust everywhere. All right, so let's check this out. First, starting off with a accessory packet. You got your cigarettes, matches, chewing gum, toilet paper, coffee, creamer, sugar, salt, and an interdental stimulator.
Huh?
Is that one of those sticks that you poke into your gums to make them do stuff?
Imagine you know you wear around an interdental stimulator, Pete.
I don't even floss, mate.
I'm fast forwarding to him eating the beef.
Seedless blackberry jam. And I don't think this thing's leaked. It does have bug carcasses on the side. Look at that.
It does have
metal.
It does have bug. It does have bug carcasses on the side.
Look at this.
To this.
So what he's done is he's put.
It's got mold all over.
Yeah, don't eat that, mate.
Why I put myself through it. Wow, that really has a salami or bologna.
Looks like it's like a small can of cat food.
Yeah. Oh, like a roll of, like, you know those kind of, like, goat's cheeses you get? But, like, one that's been sat in the sun for about 30 years.
Sure, and that's how it always was.
I think my life was better before I knew about this guy. And this is what you constantly do this to me.
He's moving the chunk of meat on an old spoon from the Vietnam War and close up the camera.
Again, if you ate that, I don't know what it would do necessarily. I mean, I've never eaten moldy canned meat, nor am I ever planning to.
What?
Then you shouldn't have to channel, mate. Because that's exactly what
funny.
I'm tuning in for.
Right, so what's he done exactly? He's
Nothing.
Had a bit of sugar, a bit of salt.
He's just opened it all. That's poor. It's a poor payoff.
A poor show.
Anyway,
cool show from Steve. So if you do want to check out Steve, he's Steve 1989 MRA Info, and he's quite well known.
I mean, the thing is, how does he get such a big following with that username?
I think you just start with something, you don't really want to change it.
I think he should really be following through when he opens to eat in.
He'll be following through later, mate. I've got something, Luke, called Railway Madness.
Okay.
Which was reported in Britain back in the day. Apparently during the 1850s and 60s, there were reports of train madness.
Right.
Basically, men, and mainly men, going insane when trains are in motion.
What? Well, they're on the train.
They're on the train. There was just a spate of random attacks on fellow passengers from guys who experienced, like, the jarring motion of the trains, coupled with insanely loud noises. Obviously, it was very loud back then.
Yeah.
There was no kind of insulation. So it would trigger people into ranting and raving and attacking people. So, basically, people would just go insane on the trains, because they never experienced anything like that before, I guess.
This is not like these mythical things like fan death and all that sort of stuff.
No.
It did actually happen.
Yeah, so one Scottish aristocrat was reported to have ditched his clothes aboard a train before leaning out the window, ranting and raving. After he left the train, he suddenly recovered his composure.
He's just excited.
He's just excited to be on a train, isn't he?
It's a new thing back then. That's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, it's incredible, really. I mean, absolutely unspeakable.
I mean, insert obvious joke about anyone who's taken a Southern Rail train.
Yeah, exactly.
In 2016.
I'd be surprised if nobody got involved recently. But there were some wonderful sort of depictions. There used to be a newspaper called the Illustrated Police News, which would draw pictures of crimes that had taken place that month. There's some fantastic, it's worth a Google, depictions of ruffianism, as they would call it.
Yeah.
Ruffianism in a railway carriage. Just blokes in big old stovepipe, perhaps chinning each other. So, just well-dressed guys fighting.
Are you the sort of guy who gets excited by trains? I mean, I've been on trains with you a number of times. In my memory, you're asleep a lot of the time.
I do have, I'm quite good at sleeping on trains and planes. I think in my later years, I might get into planes a bit.
We went on a train journey once. Yeah, not you. I got a few friends who are into planes. And do you know what? With that Flight Radar website now, it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
You can see them everywhere.
Did you see that advert that was on Piccadilly Circus that had a little boy sitting down playing with his toys, and then he suddenly stands up and walks across, pointing at the sky, walks across the frame.
Right.
And he's pointing at the BA flight that's from Heathrow flying across the sky.
So it's all synced up.
So it's all synced up to where that plane is in the sky, and the kid's pointing at it.
That's brilliant.
And it basically says underneath the kid, that's the BA to, I don't know, Honolulu, or wherever the hell it's
gone. Literally advertising it to terrorists. showing them exactly where to go, yeah.
Have a shot.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. But I was just going to say on the train thing, the most recent time I took a train with you, you got grumpy because we were being noisy. Not in a sort of bawdy way, but I guess you were just tired. And then, so you walked down a couple of carriages along and got your head down.
Yeah.
And then I and one other of us had to go on and physically grab you from the train. Otherwise, you would have missed a stop and you'd have gone all the way to blimmin' Glasgow or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do, kind of.
So you're
not
a man to get excited by trains.
No, I was. I've got this wonderful. I use a suit roll quite a lot to transport my suits around and my many suits. My important suits. And if I've got two seats, I could basically make myself an L-shaped sofa if I manipulate the suit roll in such a way that I use the suit roll as a head kind of cushion.
That's the problem with me. I'm obviously 6'3" and
yeah,
quite large.
You can't get comfortable anywhere.
No, the amount of ridiculous advice I get from my 5'1" wife when we go on plane, she's like, well, what I do is I just pull this up and I bring a blanket over me and it's like a little sit-up bed. It's like, yeah, 5'1", 100 pounds.
Do you remember when we went on the book tour for that book we put out about football and company who we released it with, they booked us a sleeper train.
Oh, God.
From Glasgow to... It never stops hurting, Luke.
No.
Still annoyed about it.
From Glasgow
to London. And I basically said, I'm going to need to get my head down. Can you get me the sleeper train back to London? So we both got on the sleeper train.
But you didn't get on the sleeper train.
Well, as in, they booked us tickets to the sleeper train. Except, they didn't book us on the sleeper with the beds.
No.
They booked us on a chair in the sleeper train to save money.
Can I just say, I might have been an honest mistake, but can I just say that obviously fast forward to what actually happened, you didn't go on the train.
No.
You had a massive tantrum about it.
I had a flounce.
Yeah, and you were on the megabus or something, which is worse.
Is it fair to say that I'm usually all right with travelling? I just, for like, was it 10 hours? I'm not having that.
What I would say is fantastic because you didn't turn up and obviously you would put the seat next to me. So I had two big seats to myself. Still didn't get a wink of sleep. But
I slept most of the way because I had a big double bed on the megabus.
Well, imagine if you were on the sleeper train carriage and the railway madness happened. People ranting around you, trying to kill you.
Luke, what I would say is that I had two muffins as well on that megabus. So I recommend the megabus.
They give you free ones, though.
Free bottles of water and muffins. According to the Scotsman at the time, people carry weapons on the trains back in the day to prevent railway madness. And the 1864 Railway Bylaws Act stipulated that so-called insane persons should be isolated in their own carriage.
Yeah.
That's a minimum.
In my mind, I'm thinking of David Niven again when he's in Around the World in 80 Days. Have you seen that?
He's playing
cards on that train going across the US and they get jumped on by a bunch of
hoodlums.
A bunch of American Indians. Native Americans, who are obviously played by actors who aren't Native Americans, because it was like the 40s.
Yeah, not much excuse for the ladder from Short Circuit, who's actually not even Pakistani or wherever the hell he was from.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That
was in the 80s.
Incredible.
As well. But in that scene, in Around the World in 80 Days, he has a bit of a set to with an American cowboy, and they're about to have one of those when you go back to back and do two paces and shoot. And as they're about to do it, the Native Americans jump on the train and try and grab him. So it reminds me of that. I mean, so back in those days, I mean, guns were all over the place. I know we're talking about a completely different continent. Fascinating.
Well, apparently, some companies installed like the windows in carriages, and they were called, guess what they were called, right? After a man, Franz Müller, performed the first train-based murder. He just murdered someone in a, you know, they had those little kind of sort of portioned off partitions. A portion partition, like a little kind of thing where you'd have like four seats. A man, Franz Müller, killed someone on a train. Guess what the little windows were called?
Müller windows.
Müller's lights.
Oh, really?
Müller's lights? How good is that?
That's great, really good.
So that rice pudding dish is,
well, that's a Müller rice. I mean, you mean a yoghurt.
All right, Müller light then, all right. a light milky yoghurt is named after a murderer's window.
One thing I will say about the sleeper train from Glasgow to London is that in the particular cabin I was booked in, it's the only time I've been on a sleeper train. If you're booked into a cabin, you get the bar. You get like a nice bar and a little mini restaurant type thing, and they serve you proper sit-down meals. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
But if you're in the little seats bit, the coach bit, I guess they call that. I don't know what it's called, but it's like you just get a seat, as we were just talking about. You get a tiny little bit of the bar, which doubles up on the other side of the door, on your side of the door. It's a little almost like, you know, like even you go to a non-league football match and you get like a little canteen, like Meals on Wheels type
burger van
type thing, and they and you can have all the food they have in the nice bit,
but it's just an FU to what you've.
Yeah, but they give it to you in like polystyrene things, and they give you the wine in like little plastic things, and you can see them through the glass, and you can see them just, you know, dabbing their mouths with their napkins as they go off to bed after their nightcap, and you're just sat in this horrendous seat.
Fantastic!
It's the worst experience in British travel, I'm telling you.
All right, then, that was a load of fun, wasn't it? We'll be back on Thursday with more live show fun. Just a quick one from Dan, who's emailed in. Pete's chat about sticking his corpse in a beehive made me think about the legend of the mellified man, which is one of those weird little corners of history that might be worth a mancata. Mancata was a thing we did back in the day where we would find a story that we liked and we would play the theme tune to Encarta, the popular mid-90s CD-ROM encyclopedia, and we'd basically read it out. It's nothing more complex than that. But a mellified man. A mellified man, or a human mummy confection, was a legendary medicinal substance created by steeping a human cadaver in honey. The concoction is detailed by Chinese medical sources, most significantly the Bensao Gangmu, or Guangmu, or Zhangmu even, of the 16th century Chinese medical doctor and pharmacologist Li Shizhen. Relying on a second-hand account, Li reports a story that some elderly men in Arabia nearing the end of their lives would submit themselves to a process of mummification in honey to create a healing confection. This process differed from a simple body donation because the aspect of self-sacrifice. The mummification process would ideally start before death. The donor would stop eating any food other than honey, going as far to bathe in the substance. Shortly, his feces and even his sweat, according to legend, would consist of honey. Delicious. When this diet finally proved fatal, the donor's body would be placed in a stone coffin filled with honey. After a century or so, the contents would have turned into some kind of confection, reputedly capable of healing broken limbs and other ailments. This confection would then be sold in street markets as a hard-to-find item with a hefty price. Check out that mellified man on the Wikipedia. It's disgusting. Not for you diabetics, but it's a little bit delicious. Here you go. Thanks for the show. Always a good listen. No, thank you, Dan. It's all about your dispatches. It's all about your emails. And if you would like to add something to the pile, the funeral pyre, the honey-doused funeral pyre, a delicious Chinese meal, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll be back on Thursday with a live show from Luke and Pete Show Land. See you then.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.